Okay, and then I want to talk to you about a situation like Joseph. If you read Genesis chapter 37, pretty much all the way up until the end of the book of Genesis, it goes through the story of Joseph. And Joseph has these dreams early on. And they're prophetic, and they're letting him know that God's going to be doing something with him, okay? It's very important, okay? And then he has them, and they're great, and you can tell there's something special going on. You're really happy, right? But then everything just kind of, after that, takes a really bad turn for him. Now, when you read through it and you see, okay, the end result and the story, how God is glorified through him, you know, it's one thing, okay, but I want to talk honestly about with anyone who thinks that they may truly, and I say truly, okay, because you don't want to deceive yourself with stuff like this, okay? I'm talking about the real thing. Like, you've really, truly, okay, had some sort of prophetic dream, like Joseph, okay? Or it could come in a different form, but some sort of very clear, concrete, confirmed prophecy where God has let you know that he's going to be doing something with your life. I want to help you prepare for that, because you may not, when you look at Joseph's, but I just want to emphasize that, but it really truly is a very real thing, okay? It's real prophecy, and you know it is, okay? And it happens just like that, okay? It's not a thing of an imagination. It's not a thing where you're kind of coming up with it on your own. It's just one day out of nowhere, the Lord starts talking to you. And you're like, huh, is this real? Really? And, you know, your reaction is kind of, you know, similar to Mary. A lot of times, if you look at Mary's reaction, when the angel comes to Mary, this is Luke chapter 1, starting verse 20, it says, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Okay. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I read that because I want to emphasize her reaction, okay? This is a sort of good baseline for a humble person, okay? She's not going, yes, you know, or, oh, you know, and just like all lifted, right? She's like, really? You know, kind of like, huh, like what's going on here, you know? I emphasize that because God uses humble people, okay? He calls people that... So I just want to emphasize that because you have to be discerning, because you have two things going on. There are deceiving spirits just really confusing people and messing with them right now, because as the time approaches for the revelation of the Antichrist, it's just things are going to get really bad. But at the same time, people are also going to be getting used, okay, at the same time. So you got a lot of deception going on, but you got a lot of the real thing at the same time, okay? Especially, more than likely, with, like, the younger generation, where, you know, because things are going to be so bad, he's going to start preparing certain vessels for his glory, okay? So this really is likely to be happening. I've seen it, and it's likely to be happening other places as well with other believers, where they really are being called to do something, and it really is going to be to glorify God, and it's going to be very important. And so I just want to just briefly just go over a few things to help with this. The main thing is you need to understand and really know, okay, that just like Joseph, where he gets called, okay, And it's really great, okay? And he's probably really happy. He's like, wow, this is wonderful, you know? It's good news. But then everything takes a really bad turn. You need to be prepared for this, okay? You need to be prepared for this, okay? Because you don't really... You have to be very, 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 very humble, okay? You need to start... getting ready, okay, early on when he lets you know that he's going to do something like this, if it is very real, take it seriously, okay? Well, great. You need to be geared up, okay? Because Satan is going to be on you like white on rice. You just look at what happened to Joseph. The devil was all over him, okay? All over him for a very long period of time, okay? I think it was 17 when he got taken. I don't think it was until he was like in his, I think it was 30, okay? That's a long time, okay, of endurance, okay? And you can't do it, okay? You utterly cannot in no way, shape, or form withstand that type of long-term testing and shaping, okay, on your own two feet, okay? What you need to start preparing for is you need to start asking boldly for grace. This is Hebrews chapter 4. All of Hebrews, though, is really good because it talks a lot about the grace of God, because you're going to need it. We all are saved by grace, okay? But grace is something that, well, let me just finish up here. This is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's really because you're going to need it, okay? Because when you start going through stuff like this, okay, you get called because if I understand correctly, the Lord, you know, selects humble people because they won't try and stand on their own two feet, okay? And therefore, because they won't try and stand on their own two feet during a trial, okay, they have the capability to withstand a severe trial and not fall, because they will rely automatically, completely on the power of God, okay? You need to know this and remember this, okay, as you go through your trial. Okay, this is the parable of the sower, and this is Matthew chapter 13, okay? Starting at verse 20, it says, but he that received the seed unto the stony place is the same as he that heard the word, and with anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Okay, that root in yourself, okay? That's the vine, okay? You want to be like verse 23, where it says, but he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. And Joseph is an excellent example of that. He heard it, okay, the word, and he endured, and he brought forth a lot of fruit, as you can see, okay? And God was glorified in him, okay? But he had to get through that period, okay? And that's exactly like that parable of the sower, okay? Where if he didn't have any root in himself, okay, where he wasn't rooted in that vine, okay, his prayer closet, that secret place, he would have fallen away. I mean, look at everything that he went through, okay? That's not man that endures something like that. That's not flesh and blood. Okay, you can't, okay? That's hard stuff. Because you're seeing the temptation that Joseph goes through, okay, in the book of Genesis. But you have to understand, it's just not something that you watch with people mistreating him. There are spirits, okay, that also, and you'll see this, okay, will cloud around you, okay? And I've seen them before, okay? And they just swarm you, okay? They swarm you. In all sincerity, okay? And the severity of the trial, depending on what the end result is and what God truly intends to do, okay, with this particular vessel, is very intense, okay? So you've got not just the flesh and blood aspect of it, the carnal aspect here, but you've got the Ephesians 6 aspect of it, okay? It's Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness and of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, okay? And that whole section is good to read, because he talks about withstanding in the evil day. And it really is, okay? Because you're going to have spirits on you, but you're going to have a lot of pain, okay? You're going to have a lot of pain, real pain, okay? Real heartache, okay? You're going to feel abandoned by God, okay? You're going to feel just like, you know, I love you, you know, Lord, and I adore you and I serve you, and here I am, what's going on? Even though you know and you heard it, okay? You heard that seed, okay? Back at the beginning, he told you what was going to happen, and you know the end, but it's not going to, that's not going to pull you through, okay? Knowing what's going to happen, and it helps, God will use it, okay? But there's two things that you need to be aware of, okay? This is John chapter 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's another thing, purging. You need to be aware of that, okay? Because to truly be like a vessel for God to be glorified, you got to be purged, okay? On a quick side note, this is going to be different than chastening. There's just things within us that are just, you know, they're naturally evil and sinful. We're just naturally that way, okay? And you need to be aware that he may, it's not that he leads you into temptation, but if there's something in your heart, okay, that is, that just, like it says, needs to be purged, he will let you go through it, okay? So it'll be purged from your soul, okay? And it's not the same as chastening, okay? Because you didn't really necessarily willfully, like, do anything like wrong and sinful. It's just you've got this aspect of you, okay, that's sinful, and it just needs to be purged, just like it says, okay? And so he'll kind of let you go through that, sort of let you get that evilness out of your heart, and let it be purged from you in different ways, kind of like letting you go through it or go after it or something, so you can be purged and go through it and go, okay, I don't want this is not good, okay, or whatever. You need to be aware of that if it seems like you know, the Lord kind of, he doesn't, I'm not saying he leads you like, well, the Bible does say that though. That's the Lord's prayer. He says, lead us not into temptation. You need to ask for that. What I'm trying to say is he'll kind of like, you've got something in your heart and he lets you just kind of go through it so that you won't want it anymore. So it's purged now from you and you're made more, perfect for his glory. Okay. That's a side note though, but ye are, clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Okay? I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And that's true, okay? What happens is you go through these, when you're going through this process, you're stuck to Christ, just like a tree is to branches, okay? He's in your mind, he's in your heart, you're just glued to him, okay? And in him you have your rest, and you're just kind of sitting there with him in your heart and soul, just connected and glued together, and he's carrying you through this stuff, okay? Because it's really bad. It's really hard. I'm not going to mince words with you, okay? It's very difficult. And then, So you've got the vine, okay, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about love, and this is also really important because this is what I found out. First of all, that chapter is talking about love. It's talking about love towards people, but love towards God, okay, love towards God, and it's charity, okay, because, well, I'll just read it here, okay, let's see. Talking about charity, it says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall fail. They shall cease. whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abide a faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And that's true, because what happens is you love Jesus. That's the bottom line. You're gonna do whatever he tells you to do. That's the bottom line at the end of the day, because you're gonna have the prophecy. I don't want to laugh, it's not funny, but it's just the truth, and I'm being honest, okay? You're gonna have it, okay? But when you're in the severity of the trial, it's not gonna get you through. You just want it to end. I'm being honest with you, okay? I'm being honest, and I'm telling you the truth. You can't, he says it fails. It not that the prophecy, real prophecy, comes to pass, but it's not going to carry you. It's not going to do it. You may know the end of the road, and you have that confirmation, and you know, and the Holy Spirit will use it to clarify. It'll use it to strengthen you. He'll use it to direct you, okay? But that's not the gas in your tank, okay? It's this, it's charity. You love Jesus Christ. You adore him, okay? He's the cream in your coffee. He's the apple of your eye, okay? He's what makes whatever you're doing delightful, okay? He's your everything, okay? He's your sun, moon, stars, your sunshine, you know, your soft blanket, all right? He's everything to you, and you just know at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because whatever Satan's tempting you with to the right or to the left to get out, you know it's not going to have him in it. It's not going to have Christ in it, because it's not going to be of his will. It's not what he wants you to do. He wants you to keep going straight ahead, and you want him because you love him. Charity, it's selfless. You go, well, I want him, right? Philippians, I press on to the prize. Christ Jesus, it's him. He's your reward, okay? And that gets you through the trial. That gets you to the other side, okay? And don't be deceived. It's true. If you turn aside after Satan, when he's on you like white on rice, it's not going to be of God's will, okay? Is it forgiveness? Does he love you? Yes, okay. But you're going to be let down, okay? Because you want him. It's Christ. He's the one that you're fighting for. You're obtaining him, okay? He's what you want at the end of the day, okay? He's what makes you happy, okay? And he's what's going to keep you going in your trial, is knowing that you're going to have him. And he's the only thing that really matters to you deep down, is having and holding him, okay? And everything else that's to the left, to the right, that's off that path, the way that he's leading you, it doesn't got it. It doesn't have him, and it's not going to work for you. It's not going to do it. It's not going to satisfy your soul. It's not going to make you happy. It doesn't matter what it's got to offer, what kind of quick fix is trying to, you know, deceive you with, because it is a deception. But even still, when you look at it, you know the truth. He's not in it. Christ is not in it. And it's not going to work for you. It's not going to work. Okay? So I pray that that is helpful in enduring a trial. And I just want to really help. I just want to really emphasize that, though, the severity of it. The end of it is glorious, okay? You look at what happened to Joseph. It's wonderful. But getting through to that other side is only done by the power of God. That's why I say you need to start asking for his grace, because his grace is power, okay? It's power to get through, okay? It keeps you bubble wrapped. You're going to find that he will, it's not that he won't correct you, but he'll correct you in such a way, excuse me, especially if you're fighting for people's souls, okay? He'll correct you in such a way to where it's private, okay? But yet you don't fall in front of people, okay? So that the testimony that you're warring for is unhindered, okay? You're going to see that he just It's just His grace is miraculous, because you get through these days, because you go through so much persecution and you're fighting, okay? You're fighting for the gospel, and you don't want to stumble, you don't want to fall, okay? You want to get through the other side, okay? And the thing is, though, is that the intensity of the attacks that you're under, depending on the severity of the trial, they're intense, they're very hard, okay? Very, very, very hard, okay? And you just, what happens is when you start praying and fasting ahead of time, when you hear that call and He tells you, you need to start gearing up and preparing ahead of time, okay? And know as you're going through it, the Holy Spirit will lead you, but this is just a teaching to help, okay? That your power is coming strictly from that vine. It's not coming from, you're going to die daily over and over and over and over and over again, okay? Ahead of time to help prepare, okay? You need to start asking for that grace, okay? Like Peter in the garden also too, be preparing ahead of time not to fall, praying and fasting, okay? To finish your trial, okay? And get through to the other side with perfection, because that grace, what you're going to find is you're going to go through days where you're going to go to bed and you're going to be like, how on earth did I get through this day? This was nuts. This was bananas. This was, I can't believe I like made it, you know, but you go to bed. Okay. And you see that His grace kept you the whole day, and you are completely humbled because you know, for a fact, they ain't got nothing to do with you. Okay. And you don't take credit for a single thing. Okay. You just praise God that you got through it. And it happens like on a regular basis. His grace is, it's eternal and supernatural, because you kind of feel like, it's such a blessing, you know, you're afraid that somehow it'll run out or something, but it doesn't, it just stays, and you just see, like, day after day, but it's by faith. You have to believe in His grace, and trust in His righteousness, trust in His Holy Spirit. You're like a basket, okay, all right, being carried through this trial by the Holy Ghost, and it's the truth. You have to have all your faith and trust in Christ Jesus, okay? You believe in Him. You believe in His Holy Spirit, because you look at the situation and you go, I can't do it. I know it for a fact. I'm going to fall, okay? But I believe with my whole heart in His Holy Spirit to carry me through this trial supernaturally. I believe, okay, in the blood. I believe in His Holy Spirit, the powerful Holy Ghost, okay, to literally, okay, carry me through this trial. And you rest. Hebrews, the entire book about it, it talks about this, okay? You rest and you believe in His grace. You trust. You settle your soul in His power. You settle your soul in His grace. And you believe in His Holy Ghost. And He carries you through to the other side. And you don't for one second lean onto your own understanding and your own strength and your own power, because there's nothing there that you can't do it. Okay, flesh has no power against devils. No power. Okay, no power. You'll lose every time. Too weak. Okay, those things are strong. Okay, but the Holy Ghost just completely overpowers them continually. Okay, they're nothing to Him. Okay, but that's why you're completely resting, completely hidden in Him. And I really pray that that's helpful, because at the end of your trial, whatever it is that the Lord is doing with you, it's going to be glorious, and you have to believe and trust, okay? A lot of times there's souls that you're fighting for to see saved and delivered, and you love them, and they matter to you, okay? All right, but just rest and believe and trust, okay, in that vine and in God's grace, in His Spirit, okay? Be asking, fasting, and praying to be filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? Filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? Love Him and cherish Him, okay? Know Him. He is your utter best friend, and He will never leave you. You have Him forever, okay? You have the Holy Ghost forever, okay? He's sealed within you permanently, okay? You can trust Him and rest in Him and believe in Him to carry you through, and He will, okay? If you put all your faith and all your hope and all your trust in Him, okay? In Him, He won't let you down. Okay, confess and know for a fact you can't do it. He is very kind, the Holy Ghost, okay? All right? He is so tender-hearted, okay? And when you humble yourself, okay, and you know you can't do it,
and you trust in Him and you say, God, help me, okay, He will. That's who He is. We have a very kind God. You need to know that. Okay? He's very close to the humble. All right? And I'm not talking about being slothful and lazy. I'm saying you're really giving it your best, but you know you don't have it. Okay? And you're really trying with everything you got, but you just don't have it. And you believe in Him. He will carry you through. He is very kind. Okay? You need to know that. Very, 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 very kind. Okay? And loving to those. Okay? When you're really humble, okay, he's not going to mistreat you, okay? He'll take care of you. You can trust Him, okay, to get you through, because they're very hard, these trials. And I really pray to God, excuse me, that is helpful. I just want to pray for any sister that's listening, Father, that is going through a trial similar to Joseph. I just pray for a blessing to be upon them of just love and comfort and faith. Mountain-moving faith to endure their trials and to get through to the other side with utter perfection, so that whatever it is that that you're doing with them, that you may be glorified immeasurably in them. Ask all these prayers you find in Jesus' name, amen. And then just a couple other things, I just remembered them. By the grace of God, if you have prophetic dreams, be aware that you need to be practicing discernment all the time, nonstop, okay? All the way until we go home. Be guarded, vigilant, and sober, for our enemy goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You want to always be guarded, okay? And also with your dreams, okay? Because it would seem when you have prophetic dreams, then the counterfeiting dreams also get really strong, and the Holy Spirit will reveal them. But it's wise to just have a regular habit of humbling yourself in prayer when you first wake up in the morning, if you really do have prophetic dreams, and letting the Lord teach you. Quick side note, God uses things in your life. Which you're probably, the Holy Spirit will teach you this, because dream interpretation is a gift. But the Holy Spirit will, just be aware if He's not focusing on a person, okay, like if you have a person in your dream, that it's not about that person, it's about what that person either represents, or the scriptures, okay. Also too, a person could represent, you know, something like the Whore of Babylon, okay, or it could represent the spirit of the world, okay, to you, or a person could be representing the church in a dream to you. So hopefully that's helpful, but you want to be really humble about your dreams, because Satan will be, I've seen him, they will like be right there counterfeiting a dream, rebuke that thing, get rid of it. And then also be having that root in yourself. I'll just share with you my testimony. The Holy Spirit led me to make fasting a part of my regular life, and taking the Lord's Supper also a part of my regular life. He also led me to have a routine of waking up early. There is something about those early morning hours, and there's tons of scripture about the servants of the Lord rising up early and things like that. But there's something about those early morning hours when everything's quiet, and then crucifying your flesh also, and having that time in prayer and reading, especially if you have dreams. And then also too, he led me to have like appointments throughout the day, abiding in the vine continually throughout the day, but then also setting aside time in the morning, afternoon, and evening, where I, it's like where I set aside time to read my Bible or to listen to my Bible too. Also having the Bible playing continually, it's nice because it's on, you can have it on audio, so you can also be listening to it continually and just be drowning your ears with the Word of God. Having time in the morning and in the afternoon, the evening, and just, I'm not saying that's it, but like abiding in the vine throughout the day, but then also to making time to go and pray, setting time aside to go and pray. I think that's it. So I pray that's helpful. And then as I was just listening through and proofing this, by God's grace, two things came to mind that I want to just explain. They say that God's grace will keep you from falling. I just want to make it very clear. It's when you're warring for the gospel, okay, and your life is hidden in Christ, okay, and you're being used as a vessel, you know, to glorify God and lead people to repentance and eternal life, okay? Not if you're, I hope this is, not if you're, you know, fighting for yourself, okay, and you're trying to, like, exalt yourself. Of course not, okay? What I'm talking about is when Christians go through, well, just like what happened with Joseph, okay? And you hear about Christians being so severely persecuted, tortured at times, and then martyred. It's God's grace that keeps them from quitting and falling, but you need to ask for it ahead of time, like Peter in the garden, okay? You know, able to endure all of that without falling, you know? That's not man that can endure something like that. That's the Holy Ghost, okay? And you know, that's the grace of God that keeps a person able to withstand and keep going, you know, and not fall. So I just wanted to clarify that. And then another thing, just to clarify, when I say that that it's Christ, okay, at the end of your trial, you know, you just have to pray if you don't understand what I'm saying, and ask the Lord to help open your eyes to it. And you definitely want to do this because it's so special. It's a real treasure. But his spirit, God, Christ, the God-man, okay, who is our Savior, his spirit is at the end of your trial, okay? It's a revelation of him, and it's what you like. Like, for example, okay, why do I like being married? Because I like being covered, okay? I like that feeling of having a husband, okay, and being covered, okay? That's Christ's spirit, okay? That's of God, okay? And if there's a problem, you know, in a marriage, okay, you know, and it's of the spirit and you're fighting to overcome it, you're overcoming to bring, you know, his spirit, you know, to increase his kingdom in your marriage, okay? Being a mother, why do I like being a mother? Well, because that's of Christ, okay? Holding my baby, kissing her, okay? You know, taking care and nurturing, okay? This is the kingdom of God, okay? This is of Christ, okay? So that's what I'm saying, in terms of, like, at the end of your trial. It's him, it's of his spirit, it's a good thing. And then also, we're talking about, you know, understanding your dreams, and it could be about the actual person. I've seen that, of course. It could actually be about the person, but just hopefully I clarified that a little bit. It's just sometimes it's the actual person, but sometimes the person could be representing something else, and that's why just being well versed in the scriptures can be very helpful, because it could be a warning about, like I said, something else about, like, the church, you know, the Whore of Babylon, the warning about Satan, and the Lord could be trying to shepherd you. Trying to shepherd you away from something. It could be a warning or something. And, or a person, the Lord could be talking to you, about a person. But you're just seeing, like, that person, like, in the spirit, sort of. So it may not even look like them. They could be, I don't know, there's tons of different ways it can be shown, but you could be dreaming about a prisoner, you know, over and over again, and the Lord is talking to you about, you know, yourself, or he's talking to you about someone else, and you don't even recognize that that's, you know, who the person is in your dream. Hopefully I'm explaining that well. But you just basically have to be really humble. Dream interpretation is it's a gift, but it's also something of the spirit, of the Holy Spirit, and so it can be completely concealed from a person, and then the Holy Spirit reveals it, and you go, wow, that's as clear as day. How could I not see that, right? Anyways, I hope that that's helpful, and of course, if you have any questions or anything, you can always just text me. Okay, well, that's it. Blessings in Christ. Okay, take care.